In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of discernment. And discernment is something that we desperately need in the days that we live, and something that is all too often lacking among those around us. We have to learn to discern what is good and what is evil, and then we have to learn how to walk in this life and how to judge which way to go. St. Paul, as I mentioned last week, said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And you could translate the word prove there as discern, that you may discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you had a home and you looked up one day and you noticed there was a crack in the ceiling, and then you called out some contractor and they discovered that whoever built your house, they didn't put the proper supports in this one part of your house, and if nothing was done eventually, that part of your roof would cave in on you, well, then you would know that you had a problem and that you had to do something about it. Now, if you talk to different contractors, and one of the contractors said, "Well, it's not really worth trying to save this house. Best thing to do would be just burn it down." Well, if you had any discernment, the question you would ask is, "What would be the plan after you burn my house down?" "Well, I could build you a brand new one. I could build you one much better than the one that you have, and for not that much money." Okay, well, if I told my wife that this was what someone was proposing, I know what she would do. She would start checking around to see what kind of track record does this guy have in terms of rebuilding people's homes after he burns them to the ground. And if she discovered that all he did was he built cardboard box houses, shantytown type houses, she would say, "No, we're not going to do that," because that's what discernment is. Well, we have people in our society, we have some problems in this country, there's no doubt about it. We have more than a few. But we have people in our society that will point to some injustice and they'll say, "Let's just burn it down." And these people don't have a good track record, because the people that are talking like that, and this is not conspiracy theory stuff here, there are many people who are involved in these riots that self-identify as communists. Many people who don't come right out and say they're communist, if you listen to what they have to say, they're communist too. And even among those that maybe not don't realize that they're communist, many of them are so propagandized by cultural Marxism that they're communist and they just don't know it. But what do you see as the track record of communism? You see that the greatest human misery that has ever been observed in recorded history is a result of communists that were going to fix the problem. They identified injustices, their solution was burn it down, and they were going to rebuild this utopia. We all have different political views, and the church is not here to tell you how to vote. But when you have an ideology which is really a false religion, then we have to speak out against it, because it is evil. It's not something that's just a neutral difference of opinion. It's an evil ideology. It's an ideology that proposes that we're going to establish the kingdom of God on earth, but we're going to do it without God. As a matter of fact, we're going to erase God from the earth. And they have an eschatology. They're going to have this workers' paradise. If you were looking at the very first people who were communists, you might have a little bit of sympathy, because they didn't have the long track record of communists actually trying to put their ideology into practice. We do. We can see what kind of stuff that they do. And those of you who have family or yourselves come from the former Soviet Union or the Eastern Bloc, you've experienced it yourself, or your families have experienced it. My wife comes from communist China, and her family's experienced it too. And I don't know anybody, when you talk to people who come from those countries, that think that that's a good solution. That's what we need to do for America. Probably that when you recognize a structural problem in your home, the better thing to do would be to get the contractor that says, "Well, we just need to put a new support beam on that part of the roof, and then it will be okay." There might be a building that's so far gone that the only solution is really to tear it down. But if that's the solution, you still have to have a plan for what's on the other side of that that's actually likely to be better. And that's not what these people have. Our country, unfortunately, has been propagandized to a great extent by people who are what are known as cultural Marxists. During the time before World War II, there were a group of Marxists that are collectively known as the Frankfurt School that came to the United States to escape from the Nazis. And instead of being grateful to the United States for offering them a safe place to be, they started trying to come up with some means to bring the revolution to this country. But what they discovered was is that class struggle didn't appeal to Americans, because even poor Americans thought that if they worked hard enough, they could be rich someday. They were just temporarily embarrassed millionaires that, you know, were waiting for things to go their way and they would be okay. So they started coming up with pitting one race against another, pitting women against men. All kinds of, they tried to find some group that they could say, you're being oppressed and you need to hate the people who are oppressing you. And so they came up with what is known as critical theory, and what's become popular more recently is critical race theory. But it basically is not a way of looking at things that is actually designed to bring people together, to bring healing, to bring reconciliation to this country. It's designed to divide people. It's evil. It's a divide and conquer approach. There was also another communist, an Italian communist by the name of Antonio Gramsci, who died in prison in the 1930s, but he came up with a theory for how communism would triumph in the West, which was later described as the Long March Through the Institutions, using the name that Mao had for his retreat into the rugged mountains in China to get away from the nationalists, and then he was able to rebuild his movement, gain strength, and eventually take over the country. And what he said was, is you've got to capture the culture. You've got to gradually take over the institutions. And then once you have the culture, then you can convince people that what they really need is communism. Unfortunately, the Long March of the Institutions has made a lot of progress. And if you go to the average American university today, you're going to find a lot of people who are cultural Marxists and are trying to propagandize your children. And one thing I would just say in passing is, rather than spending a ridiculous amount of money to get an education for your teenagers as they're getting ready to go into college, and have them come out the other end with some gender studies degree and becoming Marxists and not being able to actually make a living doing anything, you might want to consider having your kids go to the St. Constantine School, which is an Orthodox school. They offer a college degree, $9,000 a year, and they'll work with you because they don't want their graduates to come out on the other end in debt. And then they would actually get an education, and they would get one from an Orthodox school. Don't encourage your children to go to universities just to go to universities, particularly when they're going to be propagandized and you're not going to recognize them when they graduate. Communists oppose God, they oppose the church, they oppose the family, they want to break the family up, they want to set children against their parents. And you know, Christ talked about setting a father against his son and the son against the father and that stuff in the Gospels. But what he was talking about was not you trying to hate your parents, trying to go out of your way to be alienated from your parents, but that for standing for Christ, you might wind up going at cross purposes with your parents. And there are certainly many accounts in the lives of the saints where even parents wound up participating in the martyrdom of their children. But that's not the norm. And if your parents are not trying to kill you for the faith, you certainly shouldn't be trying to destroy them. But in the Soviet period, they made a hero out of a child who ratted out his father and had him executed. That was someone that was held up as someone to be emulated. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to destroy the family, because the family and the church are the two strongest institutions to stand in the way of their totalitarian ends. So you need to make sure that your children are not propagandized by these people. Unfortunately, it's not just in universities anymore. They're getting this stuff even in the lower grade, so you need to be on guard. Again, you need to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to be discerning. And I say all that just to preface the letter that our bishop wrote this week for this day. He says, "Dear in Christ clergy, brothers and sisters of our God-loving Diocese of Mid-America, I greet you all with the great feast of Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, and the establishment of the Holy New Testament Church of Christ. Since the day of her foundation, the Church has always defended and cared for the oppressed, widows, orphans, and homeless. Besides, all charity was of free will and non-compulsory, and so it was throughout the ages. State social services appeared rather recently. The Holy Church was always against any kind of revolutions or forceful overturning of power. Instead, she supported civil evolution. For example, being persecuted, she peacefully, without any riots, changed the course of the pagan Roman Empire, having completely regenerated it. The same was done by Orthodox Christian missionaries who spread the Holy Gospel among different nations. Look at the history of Holy Russia and compare what means the Bolsheviks planted equality. Now we are experiencing great turmoil in our United States. Attempts are made to destroy all foundations of law and order. In the name of justice, we are seeing looting, destruction, and mayhem. The Holy Church was always against such actions, and Orthodox Christians cannot participate or support them. Apostle Paul writes that we should pray for the land we live in and its authorities. If there is peace in the land, so will the Church and her children live in peace and prosperity. Therefore, we should enforce our prayers for our American land and its peace and tranquility. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, do thou calm the agitation and discord in our American land. Banish from us slander and conflict, murder and drunkenness, bitter disputes and scandals, and burn out of our hearts every impurity, conflict, and evil, that again we may all love one another and abide as one in thee, O Lord our God, as thou hast commanded and directed us. Grant peace to thy church and to her children, that with one heart and one mouth we may glorify thee, our Lord and Savior, unto the ages of ages. Amen. Archbishop Peter, Archbishop of Chicago and Mid-America. Amen.